have a little series on Noah. This doesn't mean we like the film in the cinemas, but the fact that Hollywood have done a film makes it a good time to look at what the Bible says about Noah. I saw the film on Friday. This sermon is a bit of a spoiler. So if you still want to see the film unvarnished, do put your iPods on now. I thought it was dull. There was no humor. It was also very, very strange in places. It wanted us to think it was based on the Bible story because it starts with the Bible context, the generations down to Noah in Genesis 4 and 5, and has at one stage quite an interesting creation account from Genesis 1 to 3. But it does read warped 21st century Western prejudices into the story. It invents some weird rock monsters called Watchers, which make it feel like a fairy tale rather than an account of the part of early human history. It's not a biblical film. In the film, Noah is not a very attractive character. He's moody and nasty and a representative of warped religious hatred and bloodlust. It's not a biblical film. Harry Potter films will be at least slightly relieved that it is Hermione who really saves humankind from Noah and the flood. It is not a biblical film. Enough of the film. Sorry if I've spoilt it a bit, but it is poor. There was once a forgery expert who explained why he was so good at spotting forged banknotes. He said, "I spend all of my time looking at true banknotes. Then when I examine potential forgeries, I find it much more straightforward spotting the duds." Well, that's what we'll try and do with Noah over these 2 weeks and then the week after Easter. Today we're looking at the real story of Noah from the Bible. Next week we shall look at what the New Testament says with reference to Noah. And the week after Easter we will look at the subject of myth in Noah. So the Bible starts in chapter 6 of Genesis with the story of Noah. Actually starts in verse 5, although you can never ignore the context before. "The Lord saw that the wickedness of humankind was great in the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made humankind on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, 'I will blot out from the earth the human beings I have created, people, together with animals and creeping things and birds of the air. For I am sorry that I made them.' But Noah found favor in the sight of the Lord." So things have reached a sorry pitch. And Noah is the only one considered blameless in God's eyes, in all of his generation. He is the exception when God considers whether to carry on with the human race or not. So great had become the wickedness of humankind. And then we're introduced to Noah. These are the descendants of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. In fact, in the Bible story, the only time we are told he is unrighteous in God's eyes was at the end of chapter 9, when he got drunk on his first wine vintage of the new harvest in the renewed earth. Now, in the film, Noah is depicted as some sort of psychotic animal rights eco-warrior driven by Taliban-like religious zeal, blind to all sorts of compassion and human kindness. He's nasty. But that is not the Noah of the Bible, who we've just read about. The Bible says that he, of all people, did right in God's eyes and was noticed by God for it. Once the Lord determined to save one human, Noah, he made sure to save enough to start again with the human race. So Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives, although the film couldn't even manage that. And in the same way, the Lord provided couples for the future of the animal kingdoms. But let's get to the important timeless message of Noah. Why it's in the Bible is this: to tell us that the Lord works judgment and salvation at the same time. Judgment with the flood and its destruction, salvation with the couples and their capacity to multiply. And this theme is the central theme of Noah, and indeed it is the central theme of the Bible as a whole, and the Lord God's relationship with humankind. Judgment and salvation are the purposes of God. And yet the film fudges this message. Poor Noah is depicted as one-eyed. Just judgment, really, and not so much salvation. But the Bible, well, when it comes to humans anyway, he's into salvation for animals. But the Bible is clear that Noah knew both, and both were the purpose of God. Because we are all held to account. Now, God is patient in his judgment, but he will judge. In Genesis, God waited for 7 generations, from the first murder to the complete breakdown of civilized society. God is patient, but he will judge. We are all held to account. And only those in good relationship, in right relationship in God's eyes with the Lord, will be saved. Those who have received his offer of mercy and are living out his love and mercy, those believing his promises and building his people, they are the ones who will be saved. Judgment and salvation are hand in hand, two sides of the same coin, necessary and right, so that there's justice for those who are wronged. God cares and will judge. So that there is rescue for the righteous in God's eyes. God saves. That's the Bible's message, and it's there in Noah. Now, in the film, God is depicted as a distant creator who does not speak. In the Bible, the Lord speaks as well as acts. And God is clear in telling Noah what is next on different occasions. So the Bible's account of Noah reminds us that God speaks and God acts in judgment and salvation. That's not the theme of the film. The film takes 2.5 hours. Alex fell asleep 3 times. I guess if you are doing a film that long, you need to make up a lot of storylines. And this film does invent numerous unwarranted storylines. There's a massive battle to get on the ark. Why? A chap called Tubal Cain is king. Why? No good reason. It's not in the Bible. And these storylines obviously make the film last longer, but it's not credible. It is only Noah who believed there would be a flood. Everyone else thought he was mad. So why would anyone else want to go near the ark, let alone fight to get on it? Surely other people would have steered clear, not come near. They didn't believe God. Noah would never have been fighting people off the ark. They would not even tried to get on. They were caught up in their dog-eat-dog lives elsewhere on the face of the earth. The film's version doesn't ring true. And it's not true to the Bible's account. Now, I am grateful that the film reminds us that Noah is a 12A story. It's not a key stage one infant school story. Hollywood is right on that. The themes are disturbing themes, challenging themes. But the story matters. Getting the story right does matter. Otherwise, we miss the real meaning of the story. Hollywood says, Hermione saves the future of humanity from a vengeance-crazed Noah with a bit of female common sense and courage. But that is not God's story of humanity in the Bible. That's some other narrative completely. In fact, it's probably Harry Potter Book 3, which was a much better film. Noah is Noah from Genesis chapter 6 to 9. Now, Noah was not a perfect man. His drunkenness at the end of chapter 9 makes that clear. But he is the one whose righteousness was noticed by God from the start. He was the one who God was pleased to say, even though his last sinful episode meant that Bible readers need to look further down the generations for the male offspring of Eve who would bring salvation, crush the serpent's head while being struck down himself. And so the Bible gives us Jesus to be recognized as the true Savior of the world. And the Noah, the real biblical Noah, is a pointer to Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for your word. Thank you for your love and mercy and your determination to judge and to rescue. Thank you for your people through the ages. Thank you for your word. Please, Lord, help us to read your word, to inwardly digest your word, and so look to you and trust in your purposes and your promises. Amen.